In America, there are two tax systems, one for the informed, one for the uninformed. Treat your tax burden like a profit center. What about my remaining $4.9 million of income? What are you gonna do with that? It's not boring, Zach, when you know that you can reduce your taxes by, say, 50, 60%. Both are legal. So which one do you want to go?
Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Logbook podcast. I'm your host, Zach Bernard. You can find me on social at It's Zach B. In each episode, I bring on experts from various industries for you to learn about their strategies and insights driving extra business growth. Today, we're joined by Mark Myers, founder and tax saving architect at TaxWise Partner, a firm that helps business owners, investors, and financial professionals permanently reduce their tax burden through advanced, proactive tax planning strategies. Mark is actually a former Marine Corps surgeon who brings over 20 years of business operation and high-level consulting experience to the world of advanced tax strategy. Over the last decade, he's helped over 500-plus clients collectively save hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes, reducing their tax bill by 30 to 60%, not by replacing their CPA or financial advisors, by operating as a turnkey back office that works alongside them to implement strategies that a lot of tax professionals simply do not have the bandwidth to explore across the 75,000 pages of the tax code. Mark, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Zach. I appreciate you taking the time. Excited about the conversation.
Yeah, me too, because we've had a lot of people like marketing, business, but taxes is always something that a lot of people are like not too fond of like talking about, but it can be a really good thing to talk about if you know how to navigate it effectively, because you can add a lot more into the bank if you do it effectively. And as you know, this is obviously a business entrepreneurship podcast for anyone listening. But one of the main thing I always like to ask anyone that is coming on the show, because you've obviously been around the block, you've been doing this for a little while here, is if you had to like restart your company like from scratch, knowing everything that you know today, what's kind of like the one thing that you think you would do differently that a lot of other entrepreneurs get like totally wrong?
Great question. I gave this some thought, and I can't say that all other entrepreneurs get this wrong, but I can only imagine that a high percentage would. And I would go back. I would build with the end in mind, in that, okay, you know, I was kind of line over line, precept over precept, you know, ultimately learning as I go, like knowing what I wanted to do and how I wanted to service the client base and how to grow the business, but not saying, well, what does year 10 look like? What does year, you know, or maybe say, what does a pre-sale look like? I got the business to where it's like completely saleable. What does that look like? And then reverse engineer from that. And that would have been, I would have had much more line of sight as to when I needed to add this account executive, when I needed to add this operations specialist, when I needed to bring in the CRM more robust to essentially service the client. So it was really, that would be what I do different.
Interesting. Cause I feel like a lot of people, you're going to think like a really short term, like you will say that you want to think long term. Like, yeah, like we're thinking long term, but you're taking some of that perspective, like reverse engineering, like in 10 years, I want to be at this point. What do I need to have done to be able to get to there? And I feel like a lot of people don't have like that thought process oftentimes. They just chip away every single day and then they hope that they get to that position at some point in time here, which maybe not the best approach here, but I love that. And I'd love to understand, because obviously you've been running TaxWise for a pretty long time, to put it very simply. And then I'd love to get a better understanding when someone comes to you, they want to like work with you, whether that's a business owner, a financial professional, what does that kind of process looks like from the conversation to actually like seeing results? Cause you have a pretty unique approach when it comes to like the, how you partner with clients, CPAs and everything like that.
Absolutely. No, I keep it as simple as possible. I want it to be a very natural conversation. In most cases, what we do, Zach, is we first kind of get to know each other. But a lot of times they want to kind of understand who we are and what our experience is, you know, what we're all about. So I will share with them how we kind of go about serving the marketplace and how we are vetted by our strategic partners before we even talk to clients, right? Because we're creating relationships with CPAs, enrolled agents, registered investment advisors, and they're going to the ones that are going to be opening the door to their highest income earning or highest wealth, the largest net wealth clients. So they're not just going to open that door willy nilly, you know? So I let them know that there's a lot that goes on on behind the scenes and under the hood before we even mm-hmm. talk to clients. But then that conversation, yeah. once they kind of get comfortable with our process, it's really a metric of what's the fact pattern look like? Like there's so many different things you can do, but it mm-hmm. all depends on the fact pattern. So let's talk a little bit about your fact pattern. And it always comes down to how their income, like what type of income do they have? What's the timing of it? Where is it coming from? What are the sources? And of course, mm-hmm. do they have any capital gains events? Because those are,
yeah.
you can't forget, oh, by the way, I'm going to sell this property or I'm going to sell this stock and it's appreciated and my basis is small and I'm going to have hundreds yeah. of thousands or millions of dollars of gain. We gotta, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if you make $30,000 a year, we got to tackle that big gain. So those are the types of things we look at. What is the fact pattern? And then we start talking about mm-hmm. based on your fact pattern, here are the things that you can explore. We can help you implement.
Yeah. So it's really more like tailored based on like the different clients that you guys work with, to put it very simply. And there's obviously a lot of different type of clients. Some will have capital gains. Some are going to have real estate, and then it's going to be all over the place. So imagine there's a pretty specific process that goes into it, but it all falls into like the tax reduction aspect of things. And there's like a lot of conversations around that. And I think a lot of people hear that and they either assume that's for like the people that are like the ultra wealthy that are like just having like all these loopholes, like just save money in like any way that they can. And that's somewhat, it's like in a gray area, like legally, like they're not sure if they should be doing it. But I'd love to hear like, what's kind of the reality with that? And there's like somewhat two tax systems from what I understand for like Americans. And some of them don't even know that the other exist.
Yeah. I love the way you framed that question, because it's, you know, there's a quote from a very well-known Second Circuit Court judge that was over tax courts. He's not alive anymore. His name's Judge Learned Hand, but he's well quoted because, you know, he was very fair in his application of law. And one of his big quotes was, in America, there are two tax systems, one for mm-hmm. the informed, one for the uninformed. Both are yeah. legal. So which one do you want to go? Do you want to use the uninformed system or the informed system? If you're in the informed system and you're doing it right, it's legal. And that's the thing. There's a difference between, you know, tax fraud or evasion and mm-hmm. tax avoidance or tax deferral, right? So all yeah. we do is focus on ways to legally avoid tax or defer tax. And sometimes we can eliminate tax depending on the code section that we're using, because 75,000 pages of it, there's a lot of coupons.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of coupons in there, but you know, it's not yeah. like the IRS is going to send out a flyer every week and say, here, you need to clip this coupon just like you get from Trader Joe's. But part of that is because the Internal Revenue Service is in the business of collecting revenue. So they don't like to reduce their revenue. But that yeah. being said, I think to that kind of a thought process of the gray or the, oh, you know, it's a little bit of a misnomer in that there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with reducing your tax. In fact, Judge Learned Hand also said that no American citizen is legally due to pay one penny more than, you know, what they should, according to the law. Yeah. It's just a matter of, do you want to go through that process? Because if you're doing something that not everyone does, well, mm-hmm. sometimes people are like to follow the bandwagon, right? Well, if everybody does a mortgage interest deduction, well, I'll do one. Of course you can, but not everyone has a small solar business, right? Not everyone is charitably inclined with tangible assets, or not everybody wants to go into a partnership that will produce negative K-1s. Like all these different things that you can do that are completely in the code, got to do them right. They will produce a net positive tax benefit. But it's not something that Tom, Dick, and Harry are going to do, right? It's like, it's not the normal stuff, you know?
and I mean, I feel like that's where like a company like you guys, where you're more like tax strategist, like architect, as like you're saying, because if there's 75,000 pages, I can guarantee you that most people are not going to take the time to go through that. And I mean, it's like any day, if I work with a service provider, I mean, we obviously do work with a lot of companies. We pay them to do a service. There's a reason we do it. They know what they're talking about. They know what they're doing. They're saving me the time. Well, it's the same thing for you guys, where I don't have to go through 75,000 pages. I can work with you guys. You're going to save me the pain in the butt, to put it very simply, of having to do it myself. And I love that you mentioned like the inform and the uninform. And just from what I could tell, you probably want to be the informed one, or you want to work with someone that is informed at least.
Because
it's all legal. It's just about finding it, not finding a way to make it legal, just finding what is legal and what actually works for you based on your unique situation. And also finding like what you're open to doing. I mean, you mentioned it yourself, like you could solar, you could real estate. There's so many different things that you could be doing. You just have to find those right things here. And you know, we talked about like clients and you work with a pretty unique like client base, like CPAs, enroll agents, registered investment advisors, if I'm not like totally mistaken. And most people would kind of assume that those professionals would already have that covered for like their client base. And it's like a missing part of like the tax side of things for like financial professional. Like when they're offering taxes, they do like tax planning, but there is like that more strategic side of things that's like kind of missing. Somewhat like a CFO, for example. Some people might work with a fractional CFO for that specific reason, but they don't think about that in the tax capacity that you can have someone that focuses on that. And I love to like somewhat understand like what's kind of like the difference. How are you guys someone filling that gap without stepping on their toes? Because you mentioned it yourself, like you're building these great relationship with these people. You're adding a value add that they're not adding. And it's like a win-win for everyone, to put it simply, at the end of the day.
Absolutely. No, thanks for that question. I think one thing that's really important to do, Zach, is to treat, people don't realize this, treat your tax burden like a profit center, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in your business, you're always trying to maximize revenues and reduce expenses. Well, don't you realize that one of your biggest expenses is taxes is something that can be reduced? So if you put some time and energy in that, you will have significant profit, significantly more income and profit without having to increase revenue. And if you're going to spend time, most people are like, I just want to drive more revenue. Well, that's just going to drive your tax brackets up. Spend some time treating your tax burden like a profit center. But to your point, we work with the end client, which is the business owner, the high income earning executive, the engineer in Silicon Valley that gets tons of restricted stock units every year as a bonus, you know, so they have all the, you know, doesn't, you know, wherever they're coming from, or someone that's, you know, inherited an asset and they don't really normally have a lot of income, but they've got a few million dollars from the sale of this asset that was, you know, so, we like to look at it as a CPA, even the best CPAs and enrolled agents and registered investment advisors, they only have so much bandwidth.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of bandwidth to do their job good or do a great job at what they do. So look at them as, for the most part, now I would say there's 1 out of 10 CPAs that are integrating this into their practice, but it's very difficult because they have to hire additional people and spend extra time in this extra area. It's definitively an extra layer of their business. But think about the average or even above average CPA firm, enrolled agent, and even an RIA. They're like, when it comes to tax planning, they're like a good general practitioner in medicine, right? You go to a family practitioner and they're going to be able to kind of figure out what's going on with you. But when it comes to what exactly needs to be done, you need to go to a neurologist. You need to go to a ear, nose and throat specialist. No, you need to go to, you know, an oncologist, hopefully never an oncologist, but or a dermatologist, right? So that's where we step in. We step in and bring that specialty layer. And we don't do tax preparation. We don't do tax filing. We don't do fractional CFO work. We don't do bookkeeping. So our CPA and enrolled agent strategic partners love us because we're not going to threaten their business. A lot of times you say, why doesn't a general practitioner, like in medicine, they're always going to refer. Yeah, you need to go to this neurologist. This is a great neurologist. You need to go to this ear, nose and throat. Mm-hmm. They're not hesitating. Why would CPAs not hesitate? Because when they make that referral, it's to another CPA practice that does what they do, and they're going to lose their client. So it's like almost to go to another practice that does more than we do, but they can also do what we do. They're never going to do that. So we don't compete with them. And the same thing with RIAs. We're never going to go to their client and say, well, now that we've saved you $1 million or half or whatever the number is, we've got some investment strategies for you. No, the RIA, we say, guess what? We just freed up $800,000 for your client. They're like, great. Let me go look at how they should be investing that money. Right. So we're helping everyone. Yeah.
No, I mean, I love that because you're becoming really like a partner for like any of like these CPAs, accountants, et cetera, that you're working with, as opposed to being like a competitor, which I think is a pretty unique business model in a way, where like a lot of people, they're just going to try to go directly, like, I don't want to say B2C, but you know what I mean? Going directly to like the high net worth individuals and everything, but you're going more like the B2B route, which I think is like pretty unusual, but it's interesting. But I also love the fact that you mentioned like the profit center, because I didn't think about that. And it's like so true that every one of us, there's always going to be like the one advice, like just make more money, like just work more, make more money. But a lot of people forget that at the end of the day, you're going to be paying a lot of taxes. And if you don't try to navigate your way around that to see if you can save anything and you do it in a strategic way, then you're going to be losing a lot of money if you don't do it. And it's interesting that you phrase that as like a profit center, because I feel like once you get to like taxes, it's more like, what do I owe this year? It's like, versus you should be in like the mindset, like, what can I save this year instead of spending more money?
The largest companies, Apple, Microsoft, mm-hmm. they have a team of attorneys, a team of accountants, and that team, all they do is determine how can we reduce our tax burden. Why do you think they're in Ireland and Puerto Rico and all these different places, right? Because they know that they can have a division there and they can substantially save taxes. And guess what? Their shareholders are going to be unhappy if they don't get the dividends that they want because they're losing profit based on taxes. So it's like when you're in that small to medium mindset, you don't think, wow, I can really amplify my profits just by reducing my taxes by 30-40%. Well, that's huge. But you got to know to do it. And you also have to have, you know, you also have to think differently and say, just because I'm taking steps to reduce my taxes doesn't mean I'm doing anything wrong. Because sometimes people think, well, I've got to pay my taxes. You know, I was a citizen. Yeah, you do. But they don't overpay. Like, there's a retail and there's a wholesale. Who likes to pay retail? Nobody. Everybody wants to pay wholesale. So we just show you, here's the wholesale rates, right? Like, do you want to pay retail or wholesale? It's up to you.
And one of the things that I'd really be curious, because I mean, you've been in a space around a while, you work with over like 500 like different clients, like basically like all around, not all around the world, but a lot of like different clients. But what I'd love to understand, if there's some of the like, is there any like overlooked strategies that you see consistently that could be reducing a tax bill of someone, whether it's like solar, real estate, maybe having your kid in your business, you can put them on the payroll. I mean, I know that's like one of the classic ones everyone has heard of, but I'd love to hear if there's like any common ones you're like, that's a big one that a lot of people totally miss and they should be looking at or talking about with their tax planner strategist or anything like that.
You know, there's quite a few. I mean, I don't want to regurgitate kind of the things that are out there that a lot of people already use, but maybe everyone doesn't know, like dwelling unit rental or kind of the Augusta rule, et cetera. Those are great. I call them chip shots because they're saving a little bit tax. But, you know, when somebody's staring at a, you know, $5 million of income and you say, hey, you can rent your house to your business for 14 days a year. And that's like $30,000 write off. Great. That saved me $15,000 in tax. But what about my remaining $4.9 million of income? What are you going to do with that? So that's where we go. I mean, when you really start looking at how can you acquire depreciation? Mm-hmm. Right. Because, you know, if you're a business owner, you're generally open minded to say, well, do I need another business to help me with my taxes? And we say, yeah, if we recommend it, you could actually have another business that could improve your taxes. How? Mm-hmm. Well, this other business can generate depreciation.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Well, are you a solar business owner? Are you a farmer? Are you a heavy equipment? And we have platforms that allow for people to get in these business, and it's a very, structured environment in that it's like you don't have to figure it all out yourself. It's almost like we have businesses in boxes. So what do they give you? They give you depreciation. They give you tax credits. If it's solar, you know, they ultimately give you a lot of pre-canned things. So you still need to treat it like a business and participate in it like a business because it's a real business and you are at risk, but it's really like paint by numbers, like ABC 123. Well, that's a beautiful painting, but I didn't have to like go to art school for 10 years. I just followed the sequence. So those are the things. So you're grabbing depreciation, grabbing tax credits. I think a lot of people overlook charitable donations. And most of the time, because people say, well, listen, last time I did the math, I donated to my favorite church or my charity. And I gave him a dollar. Well, and I'm in California. I'm out of 50 cent tax bracket. So I saved 50 cents when I gave them a dollar, but that I still lost 50 cents. So how is that profitable for me? Like, well, it's not. But what if you donated non-cash assets? What if you donated a non-cash asset? Well, the game changes. You can now take the, if you follow the rules, you can take the appraised fair market value for that. Well, what if you could buy it for a lot less than the appraised fair market value because of capitalism at its finest? So that some of the things that we do is we help, we go out there and find assets that people are willing to sell substantially lower than the fair market value, but it's still higher than their cost basis because they need capital. So they're willing to sell out some of their inventory to release some locked up capital. They're making a lot less profit than they normally would, but they're okay because they know that it's being purchased by someone that's just going to donate it. So it's not going to compete with them. That inventory is not going to get out in the marketplace and at a substantially lower price because they don't want to ruin their margins. Mm-hmm. So it's a really nice way to look at being philanthropic, but also capitalistic at the same time, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I just got like 3-4 out of you, and there's 75,000 pages of like the tax code. So I can imagine there's probably a couple thousand more that you could go over of strategies. But no, that was amazing because I've never had anyone talk about like taxes and everything. And I feel like a lot of people think about it as like a boring topic. But again, if you reshift that and think about it as a profit center, as you were saying, it's a like totally different conversation. It's like, how can I keep more money if I do it properly? And a lot of people, I feel like, just disregard that completely here. So, no, I really appreciate you coming on the show here, Mark.
It's not boring, Zach, when you know that you can reduce your taxes by, say, 50, 60%. And there's a cost to it. But let's just say your cost is 30 or 40% of your savings. Well, that's still a substantial savings. It becomes a lot more interesting. It's not as boring anymore.
Yeah. I mean, if you tell me I'm going to save money in the end and I'm going to save more money than I'm spending it, and who's going to say no to that? It's a good deal in my opinion here. But Mark, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast here. And for anyone that wants to get in touch with you, because I know you're active on a couple social media platforms, you got your website, where should people look at or find you at here?
Thank you for having me, Zach. It's been great. I would say just go to our website, taxwisepartners.com, and you'll get a lot of information there. And you can actually set up a complimentary consultation. And you can, if you want to plug in some numbers and get a little analysis of what your possible savings could be, we have that available too. So taxwisepartners.com, and book an appointment with us. It doesn't cost you anything. 15, 20 minutes. We can tell you what opportunities are there for you.
Love that. We're going to put that in the show notes just so anyone, if they want to head over to your website. So everyone, you heard that, taxwisepartners.com. To your listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe, leave a follow, leave a review. And until then, keep pushing, and we'll see you in the next one.